Good evening, dear ones. Happy Sabbath to those that are into the Sabbath. As you can see, the sun's still up here. We got about an hour and 40 minutes before it's sundown here on the West Coast. I'm glad you're able to be with us. Welcome also to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and glad to be in fellowship with you once again. We finished chapter 14 in the Prophets and Kings, and our dear brother James is working on Wednesdays now, well, Thursdays his time, Wednesday night our time, so he won't be able to continue in Revelation on Wednesdays, but the idea came up to allow him to finish the last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22, for our Friday evening church service. Since we finished chapter 14 in Prophets and Kings, we haven't started chapter 15 yet. And plus, I'm going to be going back to Oregon and then getting things prepared for our dear sister Joan to move in with Michelle and I there in Oregon. And so things are going to be quite hectic, busy in getting all of those preparations done. It seemed to work out perfectly for our dear brother James to come in and for the next several Friday evenings take us through the last chapter in Revelation. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the time over to him now.
Oh, thank you, dearest bro, and happy Sabbath and hugs and love to you all. Glad you could join us, and soon to be Sabbath, perhaps for some of you. So good to be alive. I'd like to share a little story. This is what we do on the Wednesday church service meetings. Usually I give a little story, and I'd like to share one with you just now. Talking about a flight in a plane. The flight had been uneventful until the moment the captain announced the plane would have to cross a major storm. "Please tighten your belts. We are in for a quiet ride." Soon the plane began to shake violently as it was buffeted and fought its way through the storm. People sat tensely in their seats. If you've ever been in a plane in such circumstances, perhaps you can relate. A particularly violent shudder, and someone let out a shriek of fear. Images of a wing breaking off flashed through several minds. All passengers looked tense and fearful. And it was a rather large plane. All except a little girl, seated in front row of economy class, busy drawing a picture on an open tray. Now and then she looked out a small window nearby when extra bright lightning struck, but would quickly resume her drawing. After what seemed like an eternity, the plane finally landed. Everyone clapped and cheered at the pilot's skill. The little girl packed her bag and was waiting for people to leave the plane when one of them asked her, "How could you be that calm during such a violent storm, with the plane shaking so much?" "I wasn't scared," she said to the surprised man. "My dad is the pilot, and I knew he was taking me home." Our life's journey often brings rough patches which threaten our health and lives and cause us to fear. But our heavenly pilot is a master pilot at traversing rough and difficult patches. He's already traveled that journey. He is in control, and we too can keep our composure, knowing he will pilot us safely home into his kingdom, no matter how rough the journey. No matter what life may throw at us, we can find rest in God. Only he gives us hope. He is our rock and our salvation. Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. The opening song for tonight that I've chosen is one I remember Brother Josh singing for us all many months ago. And it's not what's appearing on the screen right now. It'll be this one. He's just the same Jesus. Dear Sister Lucy once said, putting just before someone's name or before someone's occupation makes it sound like they're, you know, little or inferior or derogatory. But of course, in this hymn, it's not meant that at all, but he's the one and same. So for anyone who knows the song, please feel free to take a verse and I'll start us off. Come sinners to the living one, he's just the same Jesus as when he raised the widow's son, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. All praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Come feast upon the living bread, he's just the same Jesus as when the multitudes he fed, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, a wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Come tell him all your griefs and fears. He's just the same Jesus as when he shed those loving tears, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Still follow him for clearer light. He's just the same Jesus as when he gave the blind their sight. The very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Then calm its waves of trouble be, he's just the same Jesus as when he hushed the raging sea, the very same Jesus, the very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Someday our raptured eyes shall see, he's just the same Jesus. Oh, blessed day for you and me, the very same Jesus. The very same Jesus, the wonder-working Jesus. Oh, praise his name, he's just the same, the very same Jesus.
Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. The one who's come to his temple. Praise the Lord. Thank God. for the truth as it is in him, and that he preserves the truth against the wicked one. Well, before we continue in Revelation 22 from the midweek church service to Sabbath, and thank you, dear Brother Bob, providing this opportunity to finish Revelation 22 with you all, why don't we have a word of prayer? And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free to do so. Yeah, I can too. Brother Joshua is a unique voice singing that song, and may we get him to do it soon again when he comes in. He gets in late, doesn't he? But he comes. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, dear Lord, for songs, melodies that we can praise our Jesus with. Thank you for memories of how the tunes go, and thank you for venturing out with faith to sing them. Be with Brother James this evening as he brings us revelation, and be with all those who could be here tonight, be with those who couldn't be here. May we all receive a wonderful blessing from the words of truth and wisdom from God's holy word. Send the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes and ears so that we can grasp every single beautiful thought and meaning that God intended for us to receive. And thank you, dear Brother James, for bringing this to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis. Praise the Lord for life. Let's bring the Bible to the screen, if I can find it. There it is. There's Mr. Revelation 22. Now, just going to shorten it. Okay. Well, to review what we looked at last time, now I know some of you might not have been there for it, reviewing chapter 21, verses 25 to 27, we looked at the fact that, in fact, I should probably bring that on the screen too, make things easy. All right, there we go. So we looked at the fact that the gates of it, the New Jerusalem, are not going to be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there in the New Jerusalem, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations, which is outside the city, into it, which is the city, the New Jerusalem. And much of the imagery we've been finding throughout our study together in the book of Revelation, in John's description, especially of the holy city, is borrowed from the writings of the ancient prophets who described the glories of the Jerusalem that might have been. And of course, John describes in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the city that will be. We also looked at, brought out a point about Lucifer, the son of the morning, who made himself into Satan, the adversary, and deceived a third of the angels, Revelation 12:4, and repented not. They were removed from heaven from defiling it, working abominations and lying there, just as all who follow them will receive in verse 27 of chapter 21. And we found that Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven prior to the creation of this world. You can find that from 2 Peter 2, verse 4, Jude, verse 6, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 36 to 42, Early Writings, pages 145 to 146, Great Controversy, 498 to 500, Three Spiritual Gifts, pages 36 to 39, and One Spirit of Prophecy, pages 17 to 33. So by being cast out of heaven, they were, with these evil angels, in both space between the worlds and the real estate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of unfallen worlds created before earth. And of course, when earth was created, he had access to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We were also told from Review and Herald, April 29, 1875, the gospel was first preached to Adam by Christ. And of course, Genesis 3 brings this out. Adam and Eve felt sincere sorrow and repentance for their guilt. They believed the precious promise of God and were saved from utter ruin. So we're faithful to the end. We'll get to meet our first parents. And another point just to bring out that was brought out last time was the fact that Adam and Eve were not alive to witness the creation of God. No scientific evidence of what was before, but believed their creator with the scientific evidence in the present. But interestingly, Adam did witness the planting of the Garden of Eden, with every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is brought out in Genesis chapter 2, along with every beast of the field and every fowl of the air in the Garden of Eden. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, we were told that angels forbade entrance to Eden because of sin, but in Revelation 21, and finishing with the last verses, angels provide entrance into Eden because of sin conquered through God's grace. There's an angel at every gate. The one planet, Earth, we call, that rebelled is to be the very center of the universe, is something also brought out. In Great Controversy, page 677, we're told, with undimmed vision, they gaze upon the glory of creation, suns and stars and systems, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. So this will be the metropolis and the very center of the universe, the very one that rebelled. Isn't God great? How merciful of him. Well, something we couldn't fit in last time, into Revelation 21 was the very subject of Revelation 21 and 22. And I'm going to put the quotations in the room and ask what I've done. What I tend to do is I put a dotted line. I'll just show it so you can see. I put a dotted line like that to separate one quote from the next. But if it's in a series of quotes, I don't bother doing that because it's kind of the same sort of connection. So if anyone would like to read for us, perhaps to the dotted line, or you want to keep reading, feel free to, and look forward to hearing you read. And I'll just make the screen bigger. There we go.
Heaven's service record. All who are partakers of this great salvation brought out by Jesus Christ under obligation to work as laborers together with God. In the heavenly courts, the roll is called on which every name, thank you, is registered and the heavenly agencies respond to the call. The service given by every human being upon earth is there recorded. If any are negligent, it is recorded. If diligent, the same is reported. If idlers, the fact stands against their names. In all the great mass of humanity, not one is lost sight of. Then let everyone be ready to answer the call, saying, "Here, Lord, ready for action." Amen.
Amen. The world has claims upon you. If you fail to shine as lights in the world, some will rise in the judgment and charge upon you the blood of their souls. It will be seen that you were an agent in the hands of the enemy of God and man to mislead and deceive by your profession of Christianity. You did not lead souls to piety and devotion. You had a name to live, but were spiritually dead. You had not the vitalizing influence of the Spirit of God, which is abundantly provided for all who, in faith, make demands upon it. And that was from Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 987.
inventory.
God judges every man according to his work. Not only does he judge, but he sums up day by day and hour by hour. Our progress is well-doing. Review and Herald, May 16, 1899, 7 B.C., 987-5.
Chapters 3, 5, 13, 8, 21, 27, 22, and 19, the Book of Life. When we become children of God, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they remain there until the time of the investigative judgment. Then the name of every individual will be called and his record examined by him who declares, "I know thy works." If in that day it shall appear that all our wicked deeds have not been fully repented of, our names will be blotted from the book of life, and our sins will stand against us. I'm not sure what ST August 6, 1885, 7 BC, 987, verse 6. Oh, signs of times. Thank you.
Moses manifested his great love for Israel in his entreaty to the Lord to forgive their sin, or blot his name out of the book which he had written. His intercessions here illustrate Christ's love and mediation for the sinful race. But the Lord refused to let Moses suffer for the sins of his backsliding people. He declared to him that those who had sinned against him, he would blot out of his book which he had written, for the righteous should not suffer for the guilt of the sinner. Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 987.
The book here referred to is the Book of Records in heaven, in which every name is inscribed, and the acts of all, their sins and obedience, are faithfully written. When individuals commit sins, which are too grievous for the Lord to pardon, their names are erased from the book, and they are devoted to destruction. Signs of the Times, May 27, 1880, from Bible Commentary, Volume 7, 987, Paragraph 8.
From the stern punishment meted out to those perjurers, God would have us learn also how deep is his hatred and contempt for all hypocrisy and deception. In pretending that they had given all, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and as a result, they lost this life and the life that is to come. The same God who punished them today condemns all falsehood. Lying lips are an abomination to him. He declares that into the holy city there shall in no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Revelation 21:27. Let truth-telling be held with no loose hand or uncertain grasp. Let it become a part of the life, plain, fast, and loose with truth, and dissembling to suit one's own selfish plans means shipwreck of faith. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Ephesians 6:14. He who utters untruth sells his soul in a cheap market. His falsehoods may seem to serve in emergencies. He may thus seem to make business advancement that he could not gain by fair dealing, but he finally reaches the place where he can trust no one. Himself a falsifier, he has no confidence in the word of others. A 75:3. That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, amen. I think it just makes so much sense. He finally reaches a place where he can trust no one. Himself a falsifier, he has no confidence in the word of others. And he can't trust himself either. There's a quote in the room, there's a question in the room about something read earlier. So I'm just going to mark that just to let me know. Okay, two lines. I think that quote was here, wasn't it, bro? There we go. And it says, when individuals commit sins which are too grievous for the Lord to pardon, their names are erased from the book and they are devoted to destruction. Now, those kinds of sins that can't be pardoned must be the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit. That's where I'm thinking, because I think it's a question, because it's got a question mark. What do you think, bro? And anyone else?
I think rejecting God is a sign that puts us there in that place, because God can't reach us. He can't force us. And we have to make up our minds. And if we've written God off, so to speak, and we don't want to have anything to do with him, he can't save us. So why have our name in the book? That's pretty painful to him.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe these are sins that people don't confess. That makes it kind of grievous.
Amen. Amen. Very true. You know, Christ mentioned that we can sin against God the Father and we can sin against the Son, and those sins can be forgiven. But if we sin against the Holy Spirit, it can never be forgiven. So that shows you that the Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of the Father, because we can sin against the Father and those sins can be forgiven. But if we sin against the Spirit, those sins cannot be forgiven. So then that shows that the Father is not the Spirit. Jesus is not the Spirit. The Spirit is its own entity. Because we can sin against the Spirit and lose salvation. But we can sin against the Father and Jesus and have those sins forgiven. So then why is sinning against the Spirit so much more grievous than sinning against the Father and the Son? And the answer is that it's only through the Spirit that we can be convicted that we have done wrong. So if we cut off the only way we can be convicted of our sins and then pointed to Jesus for pardon, there's no other way we can be reached. And so then we won't be convicted of our sins. We'll die in them.
Amen. Isn't God so good? You can die for your lover or your love of your life, your sins, or you can die to self, trusting in Jesus and live for him. What a blessing we have a choice and power to make that choice a reality.
I think it's interesting when Jesus died on the cross, and before he died, he said he had to go to his Father in heaven, but he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So the supreme sacrifice of giving up your life, but having a spirit, the Holy Spirit, continue on where you let off, it puts a lot of pressure on the Holy Spirit. But if we choose not to listen, and that's that still small voice that you hear in your head, then there's no one else that can save us.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, what's significant about that statement that Sister Jones brought out, that it was only when Jesus would go that this Holy Spirit could be sent. The Holy Spirit was there all along. But the power that was promised to attend in early reign power was not there. And, of course, it started to manifest itself in Pentecost, which showed the inauguration of Christ in, you know, his heavenly priesthood in the holy place had taken place. But of course the Holy Spirit was there all along, but not in the power that was promised. Once the people got themselves ready to have more of it in abundance, which they did do, it took them 10 days, we read, and then of course Pentecost came.
The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is he can be everywhere. He's omnipresent, and that's what the world needs, is someone who can be everywhere, because there's so many that have problems. Praise the Lord for sending that gift.
Amen. We are living in the last days. Soon Christ is coming for his people to take them to the mansions he is preparing for them. But nothing that defiles can enter those mansions. Heaven is pure and holy, and those who pass through the gates of the city of God must here be clothed with inward and outward purity. That's from Councils on Health, page 103.
The Jews were so exacting in their regard to ceremonial purity that their regulations were extremely burdensome. Their minds were occupied with rules and restrictions and the fear of outward defilement, and they did not perceive the stain that selfishness and malice impart to the soul. Mount of Blessings 24. Jesus does not mention this ceremonial purity as one of the conditions for entering into his kingdom, but points out the need of purity of heart. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, James 3:17. Into the city of God there will enter nothing that defiles. All who are to be dwellers there will here have become pure in heart. In one who is learning of Jesus, there will be manifest a growing distaste for careless manners, unseemly language, and coarse thought. When a coarse thought, that's an interesting phrase. who calls it coarse? The guy that doesn't hear it, or the guy that experienced it? When Christ abides in the heart, there will be purity and refinement of thought and manner. But the words of Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart, have a deeper meaning, not merely pure in the sense in which the world understands purity, free from that which is sensual, pure from lust, but true in the hidden purposes and motives of the soul, free from pride and self-seeking, humble, unselfish, childlike. Mount of Blessings 25.
Contains the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. Jesus bade his disciples rejoice because your names are written in heaven, Luke 10:20. Paul speaks of his faithful fellow workers whose names are in the book of life, Philippians 4:3. Daniel, looking down to a time of trouble such as never was, declares that God's people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And the Revelation says that those only shall enter the city of God whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Daniel 12:1, Revelation 21:27, DC 483. The Book of Remembrance is written before God, in which are recorded the good deeds of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Malachi 3:16, their words of goodness, faith, their acts of love are registered in heaven. Nehemiah refers to this when he says, remember me, O my God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. Nehemiah 13:14, in the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized. There every temptation resisted, every evil overcome, every word of tender pity expressed is faithfully chronicled, and every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded, says the psalmist, that telleth my wanderings and put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Psalms 56:8, General Conference 481:1.
There is a record also of the sins of men, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Says the Savior, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, Ecclesiastes 12:14 and Matthew 12:36 and 37. The secret purposes and motives appear in the unerring register, for God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Behold, it is written before me, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, Isaiah 65:6 and 7, Great Controversy 41, paragraph 2. Every man's work passes in review before God and is registered for faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Opposite each name in the books of heaven is entered with terrible exactness every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin with every artful dissembling. Heaven sent warnings or reproofs, neglected, wasted moments, unimproved opportunities, the influence exerted for good or for evil, with its far-reaching results, all are chronicled by the recording angel. Great Controversy, page 482, paragraph 1.
Heaven is pure and holy, and those who pass through the gates of the city of God must here be clothed with inward and outward purity.
The longest journey is performed by taking one step at a time. A succession of steps brings us to the end of the road. The longest chain is composed of separate links. If one of these links is faulty, the chain is worthless. Thus it is with character. A well-balanced character is formed by single acts, well-performed. One defect, cultivated instead of being overcome, makes the man imperfect and closes against him the gate of the holy city. He who enters heaven must have a character that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Naught that defileth can ever enter there. In all the redeemed host, not one defect will be seen. And I was trying to remember what that MYP stands for. I think the ML before that Brother Dick quoted was My Life Today.
Messages to Young People.
Thank you so much. Messages to Young People. Thank you. Thank you both.
Names in the Book of Life. John, in Revelation, in his description of the New Jerusalem, says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life," Revelation 22:27. May you ask, is my name written there? Of life, if you have, it is registered in that book of life if you have a character that is pure and holy like the character of Christ. Faith in the truth alone will not save us. We must be like Christ if we shall one day see him as he is. TBS. Oh, now I've got caught. TBS. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Any hope aside and separate from purity and righteousness is a snare of Satan, sophistry, and fatal delusion. Jesus came to our world and graciously stands inviting us to come in unto him and learn of him, believe in him as we come. He grafts us into his life and into his character. Our drawing nigh to Christ in faith and is faith and graft, the grafting process is adoption. And by this mutual act, we become sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Bob, what's TSB? Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
That
I don't have the
testimonies on sexual behavior.
Oh, that's a book they put out since I grew up. Okay. Gracias.
De nada. God's work is perfect as a whole because it is perfect in every part, however minute. He fashions the tiny spear of grass with as much care as he would exercise in making the world. If we desire to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect, we must be faithful in doing little things. That which is worth doing at all is worth doing well. Whatever your work may be, do it faithfully. Speak the truth in regard to the smallest matters. Each day, do loving deeds and speak cheerful words. Scatter smiles along the pathway of life. As you work in this way, God will place his approval upon you, and Christ will one day say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." At the day of judgment, those who have been faithful in their everyday life, who have been quick to see their work and to do it, not thinking of praise or profit, will hear the words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Christ does not commend them for the eloquent orations they have made, the intellectual power they have displayed, or the liberal donations they have given. It is for doing little things, which are generally overlooked, that they are rewarded. "I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat," he says. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And that was from Messengers to Young People, page 144 and 145.
Amen. Thank you so much, everyone, for reading through that for us. So that was quite a list and very thought-provoking. So now we'll go to Revelation 22 and verse 1. And was there anything anyone wanted to share on what's been read so far before we do that?
I think it takes a lifetime of learning to be able to, it's difficult to put in words, but to see someone and put yourself in their place and imagine what it must be like, and then say the words that will instantly pick them up and make them feel loved. And that's a gift that some people have. Sometimes it's not a word, it's just a look, or it's maybe put your hand out to shake someone else's hand to greet them. But that's so badly needed in our world today, is the sympathy of one for another, because no one has it easy. And some days, all you need is for someone to recognize you, to be glad that you're here, because sometimes you don't think that way at all. And just someone to see and to say something to you like that can make your whole day. And praise the Lord for those that have this gift.
Amen. Amen. I remember the kids and Michelle and I were visiting a aerospace museum. It had a bunch of different planes. I think it was out of what's that town? Starts with an M in Oregon. I can't think of it at the moment. But we were looking at all the different planes and the different aerospace stuff that they had there. And it happened to be on a day in which there were veterans that were coming in. McMinnville, thank you. Veterans that were coming in and donating their time to answer questions and so on. And I remember there were several veterans that were kind of seated down, and they were bragging about how they had survived Pearl Harbor or what kind of military service that they had done. And then there was this other vet that was really quiet, and no, it was McMinnville. And I noticed that he was sort of being picked on by the rest because when he enlisted, the war had just ended. So he never got to go overseas. He was basically stationed within the States and never got to see any action. So they were kind of bragging about how they had gone through all of this horrendous war and come out unscathed. And then here's this other guy that enlisted but never really saw any action. So he's kind of a less veteran than they were. And that kind of stuck with me as I was walking out, and I decided to turn around and go right back up to that individual and to shake his hand and to thank him for his service. And, you know, this is right in front of all the rest of them because they were still there. And one of the other vets said, well, why are you shaking his hand? He didn't see any action. And I said, well, I want to be grateful to whoever enlisted and served in the force, whether they saw action or not. And the look on that vet's face that I shook his hand, came all the way back in to shake his hand, was worth 10,000 words. I mean, he lit up, his face was glowing, you know, that someone actually appreciated him enlisting, not being drafted, but enlisting, even though he never saw any action. And so that's kind of the same thing that Sister Joan was bringing out. And what we read here is that kind word or that recognizing smile or gesture or any act of kindness that helps someone, that makes their day, if you will, you know. And you know, we're not to be people pleasers, but we're to do little deeds of kindness that will help them along this rugged road of life. And just the look on that vet's face was worth all the extra effort, because we had already gone out and I said, you know, I can't let that one vet, you know, be pounced upon, and think that his service was worthless, even though he never saw any action. So in going there and seeing the look on his face was, it was really good.
Amen. Thank you for sharing those comments. Powerful. The quote in the room, Jeremiah 30 verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Vivid indeed. Well, we now reach Revelation 22 and verse 1, nearly at the end of our meeting. And the tradition is going carefully and slowly. Who would like to read that to us? And any insights and comments, questions, share.
No takers. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Guess they share the throne that time. Interesting that the river should start and proceed out of the throne.
Talking about deeds of kindness, I will always remember as the family was hiking up to the top of Mount Lassen, which is, it's a grueling hike. And, there's no trees to shade you going up that mountain. It's a volcano that's dormant, which means it's still active. When you get up and look over into the crater, you can see the mud pots and smell the sulfur and all of that. You don't see any lava, but you do see an active volcano that's just sleeping at the moment. And as we were going up this straight and narrow path that just went up and up and up and up, there was a lady coming down, and she paused for a minute when she reached up. She put her hand in her pocket and pulled out some peppermint candies and gave them to each one of us kids, and to my mom too. And that lady smelled like peppermint. She was such a wonderful person to meet on that trail. And that peppermint gave us so much energy. It was amazing. But that was a generous gift. It was small, but it was generous. And it was her reaching out to us saying, I know you're having a hard time, and here's something that will help you. God bless that lady, because she blessed us with some peppermint candy.
Amen. Little acts, words, looks, actions, big with results. So we have started Revelation 22, and we find that in Genesis 3:24, man is driven out of Eden, but man is restored in Revelation 21, and in 22, going into greater detail about that restoration. We know that the angel had shown John the exterior of the city in Revelation 21:10, and now he's calling the attention to certain things in the interior. Now, Revelation 21 mainly described the New Jerusalem externally, with mention of street of the city was pure gold and Lord God Almighty and the Lamb seen. But in Revelation 22 is described the city from within. The first and central object is the throne. Secondly, the sparkling waters that emerge from beneath the throne, as Brother Dick mentioned and read. And thirdly, the tree of life. And I've got a quote here. I don't think we've read it today. I know sometimes there's a repeat, but it's from My Life Today on this particular point. And I'll put it in the room and ask if someone would like to read it for us and make it possible so you can see it. Won't be long.
The glorious city of God has 12 gates set with pearls most glorious. It also has 12 foundations of various colors. The streets of the city are of pure gold. In this city is the throne of God and a pure, beautiful river proceeding out of it, as clear as crystal. Its sparkling purity and beauty make glad the city of God. The saints will drink freely of the healing waters of the river of life. All faces will reflect the image of their Redeemer. There will then be no anxious, troubled countenances, but all will be bright and smiling in spotless purity. The angels will be there, also the resurrected saints with the martyrs, and the best of all. And what will cause us the most joy? Our lovely Savior, who suffered and died that we might enjoy that happiness and freedom, will be there. His glorious face will shine brighter than the sun and light up the beautiful city and reflect glory all around. Children will be there. They will never be engaged in strife or discord. Their love will be fervent and holy. They will also have a crown of gold upon their heads and a harp in their hands. And their little countenances that we here see so often troubled and perplexed will beam with holy joy, expressive of their perfect freedom and happiness. The saints will have crowns of glory upon their heads and harps of gold in their hands. They will play upon the golden harp and sing redeeming love and make melody unto God. Their former trials and suffering in this world will be forgotten and lost amid the glories of the new earth. And they will ever have the approving smiles of Jesus upon them, and their happiness will be complete. The future abode of the saints will be all glorious. What a beautiful picture she paints.
Amen. Wow. And it's all true and much more that she can't put on paper. Or we can't read from from the computer. What a blessing. God is good all of the time. Any points anyone wants to make on this verse? I think we'll probably, looking at the time, we'll probably leave it at this verse and pick it up, Lord willing, next week at verse 2 and go from there. Is there anything anyone wants to share what we looked at today on this Sabbath?
I often think that there's little pieces of beautiful rock and beautiful gems, gold, silver, that we can see in this world, perhaps not as perfect and beautiful as in the holy city or the new earth. But what a God to put them here for us to see and have some kind of an idea of the 12 foundations, the colorful gems of the new earth. It's just amazing when you think about it, how much God loves color.
Yeah, amen. Lover of the beautiful. You know, although we live in a sin-marred earth, there's still glories all around us. Beautiful things. Although animals eat animals and people sin against one another, there's still openness to receive the Holy Spirit to do acts of kindness that are from a pure motive. That's really good news. That's make sense of the world that we're in, the plan of redemption, the revelation in his word. and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Also the animals. There won't be any vicious animals around. That's amazing. Wouldn't you just love to be able to pet a tiger or a lion? Or maybe even reach half the height of a giraffe. The animals will be like our domesticated cats and dogs. They will love us just as much as we love them, maybe even more.
And the giraffes will be bigger too.
The giraffes are amazing animals. They have the biggest heart in the animal kingdom. Their neck has the same amount of bones that our necks have. And they're vegetarians. And I just think they're just so terrific.
And they're mute. They have no voice. I saw a video of one being taken down by a mob of lions, and it made no noise. It may have cried for mercy if you think so, but it wasn't audible.
Makes you wonder about the voice box of an animal like a giraffe. Maybe it can make a noise that we can't hear because that neck where the voice box usually is, that throat, is pretty compact in humans. But look how much it might be stretched out in a giraffe and what kind of a sound that voice box might make.
Can you imagine sitting down on the living green grass there in the new earth and then having a panther or a jaguar come right up to you and rub their chin on you and lay down in your lap? I mean, that's going to be marvelous.
Think of the different fur and hair that all these animals have. Some fluffy and long, some short. And the different sensations you get when you're petting them. And that petting them brings wonderful sensations to them. If you look at how a cat reacts or a dog reacts when you're petting them, it's like wakes up all the love in their bodies.
Yeah, amen. That's a good way of putting it. They do come to life. I was just thinking, you know, we know that there were certain creatures that were destroyed in the flood. And it's not named, but were amalgamated by the antediluvians. And we think they're the dinosaurs, right? Great lizard. And she doesn't use that term, my understanding, the spirit of prophecy, but she just mentions those amalgamated animals that could do humans harm. But then you think about, there were some dinosaurs, at least, I say some, that we know at least didn't kill animals. It makes you think, would there be something as big as a brontosaurus there? Wouldn't that be glorious to see? Scary for height, but, you know, just a thought, just something on the side. That's a different picture.
we'd have to engineer some pretty big places to live in order to have all our animal pets live with us. Can you imagine trying to house a dinosaur or a giraffe?
Maybe it'll be like, I tell people I have lots of birds. Oh, really? Like, really? What do you have? So I mention some of the birds around and, oh, we have animals. And then they work out, oh, you're on a farm. Yeah, I don't have a cage to cage the birds. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have gates and fences, et cetera, on the new earth. Would there be a reason for it or just be all natural? But they'll be there and they'll be happy and they'll have all that they need, all the food they need, all the drink they need, ready-made by God without the, you know, the labor that is often involved here in the world we live in. Well, we shall leave it there then and pick it up at verse 2. Looking forward to that. Talking about the street of gold. And, well, is there any testimonies, any prayer requests, praises anyone would like to share? I have a couple of things, but I think I'll let anyone and everyone go first and, looking forward to hearing from you.
God is good, and I thank him for my years, and I pray that each of us will be ready to go home with him when he comes.
Give you a hug.
Thank you for your hugs and kisses. I send them all back to you with love and kisses also. And the little sister just to
Sister Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Tell her we said God bless and we missed her tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Dot, and love and hugs to you and Sister Lynn also. Just wanted to keep you up to date on what's been taking place with lightministries.com. The website is still offline. Not sure the reason why it is still offline. I don't even think the techs know. I think the engineers understand, but they're not forthcoming in finding a correction for the issue. But this is also, this whole situation here has got me to recognize that having one website where everything is a very easy target to take it down. So we have several domain names now that are all pointing to lettherebelightministries.com. So we have LTBL Ministries, Let There Be Light Ministries, but LTBLMinistries.com that points to lettherebelightministry.com website. And so we're having more than just lightministry.com pointing to the website now. So there's going to be several domain names that individuals can click on that will take them to the very same site. So what I did last night was I went into lightministry.com registrar, where I have the registrar for the domain, and had them forward the lightministry.com URL to ltblministries.com. So instead of having to type out letthereBeLightMinistries.com, it's just simply ltblministries.com. So in clicking that link, it will take you directly to the website. Also, letthereBeLightMinistry.com will also take you to the website. And I'm hoping that lightministry.com being forwarded over there will also take you to the website. But everything that you do that deals with the web can take 24 to 48 hours to actually start working. And that's kind of a drawback. That's why this thing has been so lengthy in trying to get Light Ministries going on the web, is because any change you make, you have to wait 2 days to see if it works. And then after, on the third day, if it doesn't work, then you can go in and make another change. But then you have to wait 2 days to see if it works. So here we are since June 15, all the way going on almost 2 months. And nothing that has been tried, that has been corrected, that has been changed by the techs or the engineers, has been able to get lightministry.com on the web. That in itself tells you that there's something going on more than just what is normal, because whoever heard of a domain name not being able to be put on the web after almost 2 months? But that's where we are. So we thank you for your prayers and your thoughts. Again, letthereBeLightMinistry.com website is up, and ltblministry.com website is up. It's not fully functional yet, but about 95% of the non-Adventist section is functioning. So if you go there and you click a link and it doesn't work, it's because it's a work in process. But at least the site is up. Yeah, ltblministries.com. Did I misspell it there? LTBL. Yep, I left an I out. So thank you, dear brother. So again, thank you for your prayers and your thoughts, and Lord willing, it will be back up and working even better than it did before, especially with more than one domain name pointing to the very same website.
Well, a man came in today and hooked up our fiber optic internet connection. We hope it'll be better than the other one. His machine said, you got 500, what is it, megabytes or kilobytes or something of download speed. And that's fantastic. We're hoping it'll work out.
Wow, that is wonderful, dear brother. 500 megabyte download, that is quite fast. Uploads probably much less than that, but still much better than what you had. That is fantastic.
So, blessings, can you hear me?
I heard Sabbath blessings. Can you hear me?
Okay, brother, is this better at all? Okay, that's the best that's going to happen here. Anyway, my dears, I'm soliciting prayer for myself, and I generally don't do this. but I'm having a difficult time with the situation. I have a neighbor, and everybody knows that I'm an animal activist, and actually a big-time animal activist. And I take care of a lot of feral cats out of my property. I feed them, I take care of them. If I can catch them, I can get them fixed and spayed or neutered. And then I release them back out because I live in the country. In the meantime, this neighbor of mine is the most hateful person on the planet Earth. I don't even know how to describe him. He's just a hateful person. And in the meantime, one of my feral cats got in his yard, and I'll explain later on. But what happened was he has two dogs, and he literally had a pole where he let the dogs kill my cat. And he didn't stop anything. He let the dog. I was on this side of my fence, screaming and hollering at the dogs. And he had a pole, and he's going, no, don't do this, no, don't do that, in very much like he did here. And me on the pole, I mean, I could hear the cat screaming for everything it had. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. And I know which dog killed it. You know, if he had a pole or a rod or a stick, he could have got those dogs to stop touching that cat and just let it go. But he's a very spiteful and hateful man. And this is not my opinion. He's been my neighbor for 5 years. He went through a terrible divorce.
Oh, we lost you, Sister Susan.
Everything's terrible where I live with the internet, so that's why I really don't get up online anymore. So if you can hear me, can somebody say please yes or a thumbs up or something? Okay, maybe not.
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I don't know how much you heard of what I said before, and I don't want to repeat it and take up the situation. But my problem here is that I'm having a very difficult time accepting the situation that just occurred. Doesn't want me to say what I have to say, folks.
We're keeping you in prayer, dear sister. And if he can hear anything that's going on in this program, I hope it strikes a note. Maybe he can find some love that he certainly is missing in his life.
No, ma'am, he's not on this website. Not at all. But my problem is that I have so much anger that's inside of me and so much frustration that I'm having a hard time dealing with this situation. The sister to the cat that he allowed to get killed, she had a stroke about 2 years ago, and I took her in, even though she was allowed to come in and out and do her thing if she wanted to go out for a while. But now I have brought her in, training her to use a litter box 100% of the time, which is very difficult for a feral cat. I mean, not as a kitten, but as an adult cat. And she's a sweetheart. She has a tilted head after she had her stroke, and they kill her. But regardless of the situation, I shouldn't feel the anger and frustration and I don't know what else to call it. And I'm trying to pray on the situation, but I need help because this is a bad topic for me. And I guess it would be for any civilized human being. But I was standing right there downwind of the fence and I couldn't do a thing about it. So please keep me in prayer. I don't want to be a hateful person because I'm not like that. But I don't feel happy about this situation. Thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, brethren and sisters, other stories and your story, Susan. Thank you for sharing that. And why don't we have a word of prayer now? And we will continue to keep you in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that nothing gets you by surprise. And although things shock us, and hurt us and almost break us, you can keep us afloat, keep us steady in Jesus, happy in Jesus, hoping all things, believing all things, enduring all things. Believing all things that you've given us to believe. We ask that you would come very close to Sister Susan and the great loss and a traumatic experience that has occurred, that you would help her, keep her and protect her from seeking something that one will live to regret. That you would allow justice yet to take place for the saving of her neighbor, to realize the privilege of having a love that far surpasses whatever love he might think he has for himself and others who are dearest to him. That Holy Spirit, you prick his heart and mind and help him come to his senses to realize that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God, the God of the Bible, doesn't want us to stay there. There's no excuse for sinning. And Jesus shows it's possible to stop it, to have a new heart and a new mind given us, because that's exactly what we need. And we need cleansing of our past sins. Thank you for offering this freely to us all, and may Sister Susan have the grace to cope moment by moment with this ordeal in her mind and in her heart, what she's experienced, that she may get through it. We claim the promise of 1 Corinthians 10:13 and this unique, awkward experience she's just had, that it will not that coping with it through the grace of God is what will define Sister Susan as someone who follows Jesus and copes with this awkward circumstance and bitter cup that she's faced to take at her lips. Thank you for giving us the power, especially Sister Susan and others, to be animal activists, to stand up for those who don't have a voice. And thank you that one day, we're never going to know death, pain, sorrow, suffering, misery, death, funerals, etc. That it's really coming and it won't be a matter of, oh, do you remember when this and this happened? We don't want to talk about it. Heaven is cheap enough. And may that hope keep us buoyed up to work for people who can be saved, and that is humans, by a loving attitude and a forgiving spirit that the world needs so much, just like we from you. Thank you for hearing and answering. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we know that you can put a whole army of angels around us to protect us. And thank you, dear Lord. Please think of my dear sister, Susan. Send the angels to protect her and her animals and her property. And we know that you love the sinner. And may that love get through to that man so that he's actually not killing himself with his anger. Send us peace. Send us love. And help us rest in that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Just to give you a little bit of a background on this person, not that it matters, but he went through a terrible divorce a couple of years ago, and I guess, if you want to call it the frosting on the cake, so to speak, metaphorically, his wife left him for another woman. So that, on top of that, that added to his situation, which regardless of whatever the situation is, you know, he's still a very hateful person. And a couple of months ago, maybe latter part of last year, there was a family of baby raccoons, and the mom got killed, and the babies were left. So they started venturing out from underneath the barn, and they were climbing over his fence to get out, to leave, just to go somewhere, look for food. They were hungry. He took a rake, one of those hard rakes, long rakes with the spikes, and would beat the baby raccoon while I was screaming at him to stop. I told him I have cages, I can catch them. You know, I have traps, I would put food out and catch them and then take them down to the wildlife or put them out in the woods. And he would beat that with that rake. Tiny little babies the size of small kittens. He's just a bad person, a bad, bad person. And unfortunately, Satan knows every man, woman, and child's Achilles heel and the mind. But once again, thank you for your prayers. I appreciate it. And I guess just like everything else in time, this will subside inside of me as well. Thank you so much. Love to all. God bless.
Big hugs and kisses, dear sister.
Yeah, amen. We will definitely keep it in prayer, and thank you for letting us know what is difficult to share. Thank you for filling us in. I want to share with you briefly, this week I got to give away 21 great controversies and one World Crisis Foretold book. And I got to start my new job, fencing, not with a sword and someone else with a sword, but seeking to set up fences around properties. And the very first day, while the hours were rolling on, I didn't see myself being here for long. So I was thinking of other options. And it didn't lead to my old bus driving job, because I'm thinking that just didn't seem right. And so I've considered to go for traffic controlling. So I'm still fencing, and I've got to get my tickets and go and become, as my new employer calls it, "Oh, you mean a lollipop man?" I said, "Well, I never thought of it like that, but It's not quite like that. They only work in the morning and afternoon, you know, when the school kids come out. But so that's a bit of a difference. But the good thing is I did get to meet the fellows that I work with. I've got Sam Christian, which is a cool name from Germany. Sam Christian, Matthew and Tony. Co-workers, and I got to share, we got to know one another pretty quickly, just share a few things with one another on our breaks and while we're working. And I think one of the things that stood out was, what's his name? I've lost his name. Matthew. He says to me, James, so what do you do on Monday and Tuesday when you're not here? Glad you asked. I said, I door knock and deliver free books to people at the door. Really? I said, yeah, I just carry one, but I have others ready if they're interested. And he said, well, you know, in front of the guys, he said, so, I have no idea. What's that supposed to mean, the great controversy? And I said, oh, I'm glad you asked. And then I started giving my spiel, and I did it rather at a moderate pace. I wasn't slow because I knew he could hear well and that. He said, whoa. You're just saying that. It's rolling off your tongue. You've done this before. I said, yeah, I have. You could say that. I said, I made it up myself. I said, I only went quicker because I usually do that when I can see the person might not necessarily be interested to hear the spiel. And I said, but if you would like me to say it slower and repeat it, I'll happily do that for you, Matt. And he said, no, maybe another day. So they know it's there. They know what I'm about. They've seen the car. They look at the advertisements and that. But one guy, his name's Christian. What a cool name. We get talking and it becomes obvious that we're on a similar. Well, he's happy to talk a lot more than the others about. Talking about certain things that he believes in that. And, I'm hoping to give all of them if I spend a little bit more time, you know, next week, it might be my last week there, but give them a book or something that all of them will take. One's planning to become a psychologist. The other's not sure where they're heading, but, that would be great if they took something. Even Graham, that would be even great. Graham, kind of him, my employer, he said, well, if you end up going there, you always got a job here if you want. I said, oh, thank you for that, Graham. That's kind of you. He said that yesterday, Sabbath preparation day after we knocked off. So, yeah, that's great. I'm glad we've got something happening and, Lucy's not here, by the way. She wanted to be here. She's obviously having some issues with her new computer. So she's got a new computer one step at a time. Really good to hear about Brother Dick. Hopefully his internet improves and hopefully Susan's in some way or another. You still have black spots in your internet system. I can appreciate that. Australia is nearly as big as the United States of America. Very big indeed. But thank you for keeping things in prayer. I did meet one guy the day before, and his name is Stephen, and he wouldn't take a great controversy, but he started talking to me on that. He did take a tract because I talked about the last message of mercy, and I said, please consider it. And he shared a couple of things with me personally and privately, and he said, you know, James, You gotta have faith that, you know, God will provide. I said, well, I do, Steve, but I also don't want to be presumptuous. I can't just, you have faith, but then, cause I said to him, it would be great if there were more of us doing this. And of course, if I got less time, I can't do as much. And he said, well, just have faith. And then he starts telling me the story, and he's from New Zealand, a New Zealander who's not a citizen can't receive welfare. So I thought that, so I just said, are you on settlement? He said, no. And I haven't been working for 3 years since COVID because of my bad health, and it wasn't related to losing his job. I said, oh, really? Anna said, wow, how have you been paying for your... Well, he didn't go into details because that was what I was curious about, but he lived in a nice house, you know, looks like a mansion, and he's house sharing. I said, wow, for a couple of years. He said, and hopefully my testimony to you is a witness. And I got the impression he thought, well, don't go for a second job. And he's so funny because he said, you know, some people, you know, I told him about a story. Someone ran out to me and said, hey, are you looking for a part-time job? And I said to him, well, yeah, actually, in a way I am, although I started one. And she got talking to me in that. And he said, Stephen's explained to me, yeah, but she's just trying to, you know, she's a distraction. And I thought later on, maybe Stephen's a distraction because you got to pay bills. But anyway, I'm hoping he realizes, this is one thing I like to say to people, who he home churches. His name's Stephen. And I said, Stephen, do you ever study with people? Do you ever pray with people? Because I home church too. And he said, well, I have to pray about it, John. I said, I understand that. And he said, because I don't go into things too easily. I said, I understand that. But and I said, well, we'll keep one another in prayer. I had to leave him because I had to get going home because of a bit of a distance. But hopefully he reads the tract at least and one step closer. What did we read earlier? It's always one step to the goal, no matter if it's 10,000 feet up the mountain or, you know, in this life, this pilgrimage that we're taking, one step at a time, one hewing and squaring at a time on each of our spiritual stones to be lively stones in the temple of our Lord.
I'd almost forgotten, but I'd like to thank the Lord for protecting us and keeping us this past week. I think it was this past week where I think it was Tuesday. And I had like numerous meetings that particular day, and I had finished one meeting and was getting ready to go. Actually had started another meeting with my boss, and all of a sudden it got dark outside and the wind was like really crazy. And all of a sudden, my neighbor's roof in front of me was being blown off. And I said to my boss, wait a minute, what is this? I don't know what this is. This could be a tornado. I don't know. I need to go check on my mom. He says, yeah, go. And sure enough, they had put on the news that I guess one had come through. It was like even kind of worse than even a hurricane or what have you. Just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, rain and the wind, you know, and it was just insane. Even our windows were shaking even more fierce than when we had the hurricane last year, or hurricanes, I should say. So I just want to thank the Lord for protecting and keeping us. And, you know, never want to say or forget to say thank you, you know, because even in God's word where he talks about how he healed the 10 lepers, but only one came back to say thank you. He says, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? So I always want to remember to say thank you, Lord, for his protection, his keeping, because it could always be worse. And we live in a very old mobile, and even at such, God protected us. And I just wanted to say thank you, Lord.
Oh, amen, says, yeah, and the only one that comes back was the Samaritan. He wasn't even a professor believer in the same religion, and he comes back and thanks Jesus. You know, like the fake spiritual Jew and the spiritual Jew. Marvelous. That's wonderful, sis, to hear you came through it, of course. I love looking at storms. But they tell me over where you are, they're not great to be in. Hurricanes, we call them cyclones here. Tornadoes, we don't really get them. And what a blessing you were safe inside and no one was hurt, including your neighbor. Yeah, I was so desperate for one. in Kalgoorlie, which is like 600 k's from here, we get willy willies, right? But they're tiny as, and you hardly ever see them. So I'd run after them when I was a kid, because that's as close as I ever got to something looking remotely like a tornado. But yeah, I know they're very deadly. I think you still do you use that F5, F4, F3, 2, 1 system still. Terrific. They're so wonderful to look at, just a marvel, but terrible to be in. Yeah, absolutely. And you were saved again on the tip of the United States to the right on the bottom. Yeah, amen. Only by God's grace. I was thinking, bro, when you were spelling the LT, the acronym for the website ministries, I was thinking maybe you left the I out because not I, but Christ. And that song comes to mind. Do you have that on your website, bro? Sorry, I just realized what I said. If you did, we can't access it. Or can we? Or have you got it on your computer, bro? Or will I Google it? Thank you, dear bro. Yours are so much better than the websites because it's got the clouds where our conversations in heaven offered us. Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ. In every look and action. Not I, but Christ. In every thought and word.
Not I, but Christ. To gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ. To wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ. To lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ. To hush away all fear.
Not I, Christ only, Christ. No idle words here falling. Christ only, Christ. No needless bustling sound. Christ only, Christ. No self important bearing. Christ only, Christ. No trace of I be found.
Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Not I, but Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ only, Christ, here and eternally.
Amen. What a subduing song. I felt I couldn't have my beanie on for that. But rather moving. Well, it's been a privilege to be with you all today, or tonight as the time might be. And I wish you all a blessed Sabbath. Are there any last thoughts, any last things anyone would like to share before we have a word of prayer and then ask Brother Dick to sing us away? But are any last things to share?
Wish we could send a breeze of this hot air in California there to warm you up.
See, it's preparing me for the summer. Praise the Lord for the season.
Go ahead.
Bro, all I heard was go ahead. So I imagine you said something more. Could you repeat?
I was stating it's a little bit warm over here too. It's been warm outside all day, and upstairs in the computer room it was warm too, so I sneaked downstairs here to finish off where there's some AC. I wish they had the AC mounted upstairs, then both upstairs and downstairs would be cool. But they got it mounted down here and the cold air doesn't go up.
When you see Sister Lucy, give her big hugs from us. Big hugs and kisses.
Oh, I will do. We'll let her know, and Lord willing, we'll see her soon. Indeed. Indeed. Well, it's been a blessing to be with you all, and keep hydrated where it's hot and humid and all that sort of sweaty stuff. And my drips from my nose from the cold will join you. And, why don't we have a word of prayer before we close? Would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? And thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us thy sweet salvation, so rich and free. Thank you for the gift of singing, music, flowers, all of your creation, which shows your beautiful love for us. Help us to concentrate on these beautiful gifts, especially on the Sabbath day. And thank you, dear Lord, for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sis. Appreciate it. Well, keep looking up. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet again in a week's time, and may your week, because of the Sabbath to finish the last week, this week, enrich you for the future of the work that God has for each and every one of us. Take care and keep looking up. Oh, Brother Dick, you look almost creepy there. We're so glad to see you.
Somebody remind me to turn my microphone on, huh? Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.